talk to you, God. So we ask as we go forward that you'll be with us, that you will open your word, and that you will give us ears to hear, and help us just to be tentative to what your word says, and help us to take from it, take from today, and go on with our lives and use it in a way that will be glorifying to you. I ask all these things in your precious and holy name. Amen. Now, I do have to be honest with you. I can't, you know, as I stand up here, I just have this feeling that, like, I'm doing something wrong, that I'm making some kind of mistake. Because, you know, normally if I'm here at church and every eye, like every person in the congregation is looking at me, it's usually because I'm messing up in the sound booth. It's usually why, because, like, we'll be doing worship and, you know, we'll be singing and I'll be singing and I'll, like, look up and I'll see, like, people to start to look and all their heads start to turn and look at me. And I don't know why, like, I'm in the back, you know, I don't know why they're looking at me. And I'll realize, like, I'm three slides behind. And everyone's like, we want to sing too. Like, you know, come on. Or, you know, someone will be just, like, way too loud. And I do that a lot. So forgive me for that. It's just a different perspective, I guess. But anyways, we're going to be in Galatians 5. We're going to start in verse 16 and work our way through verse 26 today. And really the main thing I want to accomplish for us today is I want to be able to answer three very just simple questions when we look at this passage. First being, What is walking by the Spirit? In Galatians 5, we see this. He talks about walking by the Spirit. What is that? What does that look like for us? Second question I want us to answer is, what are some characteristics of someone who isn't walking by the Spirit? And maybe those are some things that you struggle with. Maybe some things that we all struggle with. And third question I want us to answer is simply, what are some characteristics of someone who is walking by the Spirit? We see this all through Galatians 5, especially in verses 16 through 26. I feel as if so often in our Christian walk with Christ, in our life with Christ, we say that we're following Jesus. We go to church every Sunday morning. We do all the right things, but we fail to remember and recognize the sin and the struggle that each one of us has, the day-by-day struggle, the sin that we keep doing or the sin that we can't let go of and we keep clinging to, and we don't let that go and leave that at the cross with Christ, and we keep clinging to that. And so that's kind of what I want us to, that's kind of what I'm getting at today. Sometimes with our walk with Christ, with our walk with the Spirit, those things simply slow us down. They push us off the right path, or ultimately sometimes for some people, they just bring our walk with him to a complete stop. And so that's what I really kind of want us to accomplish today. So with that, let's read Galatians 5, starting verse 16, working our way through 26. You'll follow along with me. It says, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. Such things there is no law. And those who belong to Jesus Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another and envying one another." So the first thing I want us to see in this passage in particular is that if you're walking by the Spirit, if you are saved and you are walking along with Christ, that you're not feeding into those sinful desires anymore. I think that's a big thing as far as, you know, when someone gets saved, when they give their life to the Lord, your desires change and your priorities change. And that's what happens when you walk by the Spirit. You seek after and strive after other things. I think it's if, you know, like you had two people who were going to fight, and leading up to their fight, one guy, you know, did all the right things. He did all the right training, ate all the right things, got really healthy, got really strong. And the other one did the complete opposite and completely neglected his health, completely neglected that training. And ultimately, when those two come to fight, it's pretty obvious that the one who got all the right training, got all the right support, got all the right nutrients, if you will, and got all the energy put towards him, he's going to win every time. And I think the same is true for us in our walk with Christ. If you think about your life and you step back, really, I guess what I'm getting at here is, which one of your desires are you feeding into more? On your day-by-day, your work week, your regular week, which one of those are you giving more of your time to? I think too often it's so easy to neglect and just check off our devotion or our prayer time or our reading in the Word, when really it's so much more important than that. And sometimes too often we check it off our checklist and just go about our day. Walking by the Spirit, simply put, is that, you know, You confess your sin before Christ and you become saved. And that Holy Spirit is inside of you. He's changing you. He's shaping you. He's transforming you to be the person He wants you to be and the servant of His He wants you to be. And that day-by-day walk is every single day. It's not like some days you can take off or some days you just don't have to. It's every day. And I think also when you're walking by the Spirit, so often, you know, when throughout your week, when those struggles come, and those times come where really you're struggling and you have that sin and you come face to face with that temptation, if you're walking by the Spirit, you're not drug into that. I'm not saying you're not going to mess up. We're all going to mess up. That's just a fact. We're all going to sin. But when you meet that temptation, you're walking by the Spirit, you keep walking and you keep going strongly and you keep going consistently because you have the Holy Spirit changing your desire. You're not wanting to seek after that anymore. You don't want to gratify the desires of the flesh anymore. If you're walking by the Spirit and those temptations come, you don't stumble and you don't trip and you don't fall off the path, but you keep walking. And one thing I also want you to keep in mind is that, you know, when we're walking by the Spirit and this walk with Christ, it's a lifelong commitment. It's a lifelong commitment to Jesus. It's a lifelong commitment to go after Him and seek after Him. You know, we've never reached this point of perfection. We've never reached a point where we've made it. We've never reached a point where we're perfect and we're not going to mess up. It's just not going to happen. A quote by Martin Luther says, "A Christian is never in a state of completion, but always in the process of becoming." So if you're walking by the Spirit, you're always becoming. You're always becoming more like Christ. You're always each and every day shaving off the old sin and putting on the new glorious attributes of God. The Holy Spirit inside of you is shaping you to be who He wants you to be, the servant He wants you to be. You'll become the one who He has called you to be, giving you that desire to walk in His way. I think that's the big thing, is when you have the Holy Spirit and you're walking by the Spirit, He changes your desire and you want to seek Him. You want to please Him. You don't want to please yourself anymore. And I hope that after today, your prayer will be and my prayer will be, and that, you know, it'll be like what David wrote in Psalm 119:35, where he says, "Make me walk in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it." We should delight in serving Christ. We should delight in coming to church. We should delight in going into our Bibles and digging into the Word and learning more about Him. It shouldn't be a chore. It shouldn't be something we're forced to do. It shouldn't be something that we have to do. It shouldn't be something that your parents make you do or your friends make you do. It's something that you want to do because you delight in His commandments. You take joy in serving Him and bringing glory to Him. I feel as if the sin is just a reality. It's a sad reality that we all have to face and that we all have and we all struggle with. Like verse 17 says, "For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do." We talked about it a little bit in Sunday school this morning. We all just have a natural instinct to serve ourselves, to seek after what we want first. And it's so easy. I think it's because it's the easy thing to do. It's so easy, and the first thing you think of is what you want. And too often we forget, well, what does God want? When I was younger, I used to hear a lot of people say, whenever things go wrong, just think, what would Jesus do? But really, that's true. What would Jesus do in certain situations? So often, He wouldn't serve Himself. He would serve others. And I think too often we forget that. Romans chapter 7, verse 19 through 20 says, "For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing. Now, if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me." And that's the beauty of living for Jesus Christ. He is the judge. He is a just, righteous ruler. And that's the beauty of living for Him, is that He changes your priorities and He changes your desire. And if you're walking with the Spirit and you are following Him, you want to please Him. You want to seek after Him. And being a Christian, being a follower of Christ, it doesn't mean, for example, that you don't just invite Jesus into your life and you have the Holy Spirit inside of you. It doesn't mean that you just invite Him in and He just comes and takes a seat in your living room and doesn't really affect much. You might have a conversation here or there. You might talk here and there. You might learn a little bit about Him. But He really doesn't change anything. What it means is when you invite Jesus Christ in and He comes and comes into your living room, He rearranges your furniture, right? He comes in and He rearranges the furniture. He takes out the trash and He replaces that furniture with new furniture. He replaces your priorities and He changes your desire. Excuse me. Walking by the Spirit should completely change your life. It's not like, you know, when you become a Christian, you can hold on to some of that old stuff. Maybe, you know, I can do this on certain days. It's a completely giving up of your old desire at the cross. And that's what it's about. To completely change our lives, not, you know, gratifying our flesh, not desiring to please that anymore, but wanting to please Christ because of what He did for us. And before we move on, it's important to point out that we all have specific struggle. I think it's pretty easy to say that at any point in our lives, any one of us can say that we went through a time, or maybe we're in a time right now, where there's a specific sin, specific sin that you might struggle with. And I don't know what your struggle is. I know what mine is, and I can tell you that, you know, it's impossible to beat without God's help, but I don't know what yours is. Maybe it's something that you don't want to let go of, that you, you're seeking after that more than you are God. And I guess what I'm asking is, what are you wrestling with this morning? What is it that you're clinging to and you struggle with that you don't want to let go of, that you don't maybe don't want to give up? Because that's what following Christ is about. In Matthew, he talks about this, and he says that to follow him, you must deny yourself and take up your cross and follow him. And I think that's very important. You know, what are you wrestling with this morning that you can't let go of? Because to follow Christ, I'm here to tell you that that's something you have to do. You have to give up those old desires, those old sinful desires. And again, I don't know what your struggle is. It could be pride, or it could be selfishness, or it could be lust, or it could be whatever. I don't know. But walking by the Spirit, He changes you. He changes you from the inside out, so that everyone who sees you, they know who you are, and they know who you follow. And I think that's very important, especially in the culture that we live in today. And before we move on, I just want to give you a verse of encouragement. It's 1 Corinthians 10:13. A lot of you have probably heard it, but it says, "No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, He will also provide a way out so that you can endure it." God is faithful. And Jesus Christ is so beautiful, and He's so life-changing. And He guides us through our struggles. And ultimately, He helps us persevere and seek after Him and get through it. But do it in a way that pleases Him, and do it in a way that glorifies Him, which is really our end goal for anything, is to please Him, to glorify Him. Let's move on. Galatians 5:19-21, where it says, "Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God." The first thing the Apostle Paul points out to us here is that these sinful characteristics, these struggles, this life of sin, it's pretty evident. It's very evident in a person. If it's me or if it's you, whoever it is, it's very evident. It shouldn't take a long time to figure out that we have a problem. It shouldn't take long for us to recognize our struggle with sin, our problem with sin, and our need to get rid of it. And I think also what this means for us personally is that if we're struggling with something, there's no place for it with Jesus. There's no place for it when walking with Him. It shouldn't be some drawn-out process of denial. It shouldn't be some time where you really can't decide if you have a problem or not. The truth is, we all have a problem with sin, no matter what it is. I feel as if so often we fail to just be real with ourselves and just be honest with ourselves and look ourselves in the mirror and really say, you know, I do struggle with anger, or I am dishonest, or I do struggle with drunkenness, whatever it might be. Too often we forget and we just can't look in the mirror and recognize we do have a problem. We don't want to let go of it. And I feel like as soon as we see sins, like in verse 19 through 21, we so quickly, our first instinct is to explain why we're not wrong, right, or why we don't struggle. I know for me personally, I can say, and you can ask my family, but they'll attest to this one. Whenever I'm told I'm doing something wrong, or I made a mistake, or I did this or that, one of my common lines I use is, I did that because, and then I go on why I did it, you know. And I guess what I'm trying to say is, so quickly we want to justify what we did. Too often we want to justify and defend it and say, well, I did this because, you know, so it's really not that bad. But the truth is, it is that bad. Too often we want to defend ourselves and not just admit, you know, I did wrong, you know, and you need forgiveness for that. And without doing that, without recognizing our sin, without recognizing our deepest need, which is Christ's forgiveness, we can never be right before God. John chapter 8, verse 31 through 32 says, "So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, 'If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free.'" So I guess I just want you to see, before we go into these characteristics, these struggles, these sins, that if you're not honest with yourself, you can't walk by the Spirit. You can't do that, because you have to confess those sins. You have to get rid of them and get them out of your life. You can't make it a habit or a lifestyle or something that you choose to do day by day instead of following Christ. You know, as I first read through this list, these these gratifying desires of the flesh, the first thing I thought about was our nation. I thought about the country that we live in today. And I read through it, and I really thought, you know, I think one could make the case that the country and culture we live in struggles with each one of these. I mean, I just went down the list, and, you know, like sexual immorality, yep, impurity, yep, sensuality, you know, it just goes on and on and on. And, you know, and I, not only for our nation, I think it applies there too, but I think it directly applies to us personally. And a few of these I really want to, just three, I picked three that I really just wanted to hit on because I don't have enough time to go through and talk about each one. But I do want to talk about three ones. The first one I want to talk about today is just idolatry. I think it's a big one today because too often we forget that anything can be an idol. You know, it doesn't have to be like a statue. It doesn't have to be a drawing. It doesn't have to be another religion. It doesn't have to be a bad thing. It can be a good thing. But if we put it before God and we give our time to that before we give our time to God, that's when it's a problem. That's when it does become a bad thing. An idol is anything we allow to take more of our time, more of our thoughts, more of our love and our attention away from God. And we're giving more attention to that, and we're feeding more into that than our relationship with Christ. That's when it's idolatry. That's when we have a problem. A quote from John Calvin where he says, "Every one of us is, even from his mother's womb, a master craftsman of idols." And if you think about this an everyday week for you, or just a simple day for you, are a majority of your thoughts or your actions or your words, do they involve Christ? Or do they involve things, other things that really don't matter that much? Do we, day by day, when we talk to our friends and we talk to our family, do we talk about Christ? Do we share that with them? Do we talk about, hey, you know, this is what Christ is doing in my life, and this is what I read in my devotion? Or are we just talking about anything because it's easier? I think it's so easy to allow things like our job and our friends and our school and our sports to consume our time. And not that any of those things are wrong by any means. What I'm saying is that when those things take more time than God and they come before Him in your heart and in your life, that's when they're wrong. And I just believe that God has to be first on your priority list. If you want to walk by the Spirit, if you want to live for Him, if you want to glorify Him and please Him, He has to be first and He has to be number one. He has to be first on your list, and He has to be first in your relationship. And, you know, when your relationship with God starts to drop to that second slot, that second rung on the ladder, and then He drops a third, maybe fourth, that's when it's wrong. That's when we struggle with idolatry, when we give those things more time. You know, like, for example, when I have some free time, and I decide, you know, I'm going to go watch some, I don't know, some basketball, college basketball highlights or some NFL highlights, you know, and I do love me some highlights. I like to go back and watch them. But, you know, I guess what I'm getting at is, couldn't I instead be reading my Bible? Couldn't I instead pull out some of my books and my Bible and sit down and really just get into the Word of God in that quiet time instead of spending it doing something that really doesn't matter? You know, when I'm driving to work and I'm just like, you know, especially when I'm by myself, just completely just like blaring my music and just, you know, just going crazy, you know, I just, if you saw me driving, you would pretend like you didn't know me. But I guess, you know, couldn't I be listening to a sermon? Couldn't I be listening to worship music? Couldn't I be listening to a devotional? And not saying that anything's wrong with music or sports or anything like that. What I'm saying here is that Jesus Christ is so much more important. It's laughable to even compare the two, because what Jesus Christ did is something that's so life-changing. You know, and He affects our everyday life. You know, if, like, for example, last night the Buckeyes lost, do they affect my relationship with Christ? Of course not. So why do I put more time into that than I do with my relationship with Christ? Because what Jesus Christ did, He deserves every ounce of our attention. And He deserves every bit of praise that we have to offer. Every bit of time and attention that we can give, He deserves. So I guess what I'm saying here is, don't allow things outside of God to become your idol. Don't allow those things to take root in your life to the point where they're more important than God. Don't let your fleshly desire of idolatry simply take over and come before God. Next thing I want to talk about is jealousy. And I feel as if, you know, jealousy is a struggle that each one of us has, but we, like, don't see it because we do it in such little ways. We do it in the smallest of ways. James 3:16 says, "For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder in every vile practice." And we show jealousy in the smallest of ways. You know, Maybe you're at work and, you know, someone else got a raise or got a promotion and you wish you got it. You wish you had that extra money. You wish you had that better position. You wish you had the better hours. Or maybe you're at school and someone gets a better grade on a test or, you know, answers a question in class that you wanted to answer. And you thought, man, I really wish I was as smart as they were. I wish I had the grades they got. Or maybe you're at sports and someone plays better than you. They're faster than you. They jump higher than you. And we want to be what they are. We want to be who they are. We want to have what they have. Jerry Bridges is one of my favorite authors. I love his books. He has a quote. He says, "The cure for the sin of envy and jealousy is to find our contentment in God." So the biggest point that I want to drive home today in terms of talking about jealousy is really, I mean, when you really get down to it and you really step back, when we're jealous of other people, we're jealous of what they have, we're jealous of what they can do, really what we're saying is telling God, your blessings aren't good enough. Everything that you've done, everything that you've sacrificed for me just isn't good enough for me because I want more. I want to be someone else. You creating me in your image isn't good enough. I want to be someone else. I want to have what they have. I want to do what they do. You want to be that better athlete, or you want to get that raise at work, or you want to get those grades in school. Really what you're telling God is that what he's done and what he's sacrificed isn't enough for you. So don't fall into that easy trap. It's such an easy trap to slip into because it's so easy to let those thoughts come in. It's simple as a slip of a second where it happens. And the truth be told is that we don't deserve any of his blessings. We don't deserve anything he gives us, but he's so gracious and he's so merciful that he gives us it anyway, and we don't deserve it. So why be jealous of other people? Think of everything he's done for you in your life. I can think of 1,000 things that Jesus Christ has done for me that I don't deserve. And think of what he's done for you. So why would you want to be someone else and have what they have with all the amazing things that he's done and blessed you with in your life? We don't deserve it and we shouldn't get it, but he gives it to us anyway. And so often we lose sight and we become jealous of other people and we become envious towards them. And the truth is that God created you to be who you are in the situation you're in with the abilities you have created in his image. And I think that's the most important thing, is that he made us to be who we are. So why would we want to be someone else? He had a plan and purpose for our lives. Why would we want to go and be jealous of other people? Why would we want to be someone else or do what they do? The last struggle, fits of anger. My Bible says fits of anger. Yours might say something different. But whenever I talk about anger with people and whenever I address that, I like to talk about James chapter 1, verse 20, where he says, "For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God." That's pretty straightforward. You know, the anger of man doesn't produce the righteousness of God. How often, you know, throughout your day or throughout your week, do you just get angry or just get mad? You know, we get hateful towards other people and we keep getting into these situations and we get angry and we get hateful towards people, and really it doesn't accomplish us anything. Really all it does is just cause us to slip up more. Really all it does is just cause us to sin. Is really all it does. It doesn't do us any good by getting angry. We'll storm around our house and we'll yell, and or like, you know, when you're driving and someone maybe like cuts you off and you start just yelling at them like through your windshield, like it's going to bring them back. You know, I always think like, oh, that'll show them, you know, me talking to myself about them, that'll show them, you know, they'll know. But it's just, you know, it doesn't really do us any good. It's not going to bring them back in time and take back what happened. All it really does is just cause us to sin. That's all it does. That's all getting angry does for us. And when you really think about it, it doesn't accomplish anything. If every one of our actions and every one of our words and deeds are supposed to try to be glorifying to Christ, does getting angry do that? Does getting angry show the love of Christ to other people? So I don't think it does. I'll tell you one thing, and getting to the point of these fits of anger, that's not, like we talked about earlier, that's not what Christ would do. You can't think of a time in the Bible where Jesus Christ got angry and he got mad at other people and he started showing hatred towards them and being hateful towards them. And if we're supposed to be like him, he doesn't have these fits of anger. So why do we? It's because we're sinful and we need his help. When you're in step with the Holy Spirit and you're taking this walk with him and this walk on your life, it doesn't become a day-by-day habit of yours. Having these fits of anger and throwing these tantrums, it's not a habit. It's not a lifestyle. It's a sin that we have to get rid of. But when we're walking by the Spirit, we don't consistently do that. And I hear this said a lot, and maybe you don't, maybe you have. But I've heard a lot of people, even like Christian people, say, I know some people who can be very just angry people. They can be angry a lot, they can be hateful a lot and rude. And when I hear them, they'll be that way towards other people, and I'll hear people say, don't worry, that's just how they are. or, you know, like that, oh, that's just their personality. They're not angry. They're not, you know, but I'll tell you right now that if that's who you are, if you're an angry person, you're not walking by the Spirit. You're not living your life for Christ. If you're a consistently angry and hateful person to other people, if you're walking with Christ, that's not your personality. That's not who you are. That's just a lie that people tell themselves to justify their wrong actions. And you can't find a place in the Scriptures where it says that it's okay to be angry, it's okay to be hateful to other people as long as that's who you are or that's your personality, because that's not how it is. That's just the reality. We don't find ourselves showing that anger and that hatred on a regular basis. We find ourselves showing the love and joy and peace that Christ brings into this world. Proverbs 29:22 says, "A man of wrath stirs up strife, and one given to anger causes much transgression." Being angry isn't walking by the Spirit. Throwing these fits of anger isn't walking by the Spirit. And like I said earlier, it doesn't do us any good. It doesn't accomplish us anything. Verse 21 of Galatians 5 finishes out by saying, "I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God." And Paul at this point just cuts to the chase with us. He gives us these lists of struggles, he talks about these sins, and then he just gets right to it. And he says, "We will not inherit the kingdom of God." If you struggle with this, if this is your lifestyle, this is how you are, if this is what you do, you're not inheriting the kingdom of God. You're not spending eternity in paradise with Jesus forever if that's the life that you live. What he's saying simply is, if these are their struggles, you're not pleasing God. You're not living like Christ. You're not acting like Christ. And that's what it's about. That's what being a follower of Christ is about, is being more like him. So if you're not willing to confess those sins, if you're not willing to disown that and get rid of that, you're not following Christ. You're not walking by the Spirit. That's not what it is. But thankfully, the Apostle Paul doesn't just leave us hanging. He doesn't just give us these lists of struggles. He doesn't just talk about this sin and then he just cuts it off right there and go figure it out on your own. That's not what he does. Thankfully, he continues on. He shows us what truly walking by the Spirit looks like. So if you'll follow along with me, verses 22 through 24, where he says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires." These were very encouraging and ultimately challenging and like convicting to me when I first read them weeks back preparing for this, because I just kind of compared the two. I took the two lists, the sinful desires, the fruits of the Spirit, and I kind of put them beside each other, and I just kind of looked at myself and thought, which one of these do I do more? Which one of these do I exhibit towards other people? Which one of these do I exhibit in my everyday life? And I wonder if I asked people, if they, you know, if they told me, which one of these do they see more in me? Do they see me angry and hateful? And do they see me jealous and, you know, being an idolater more? Or do they see me as joyful and loving and peaceful and kind? Because that's a challenge and a commandment that Jesus gives us. It's in John 13:34, where he says, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love me and love one another." So I challenge you this week, as you go from church and you go about your week, just to love people. Simply show people the love that Christ has for them. Show people this true and holy love. We live in a world today where we've twisted and we've polluted and just completely turned around what true love really is. But love is Jesus Christ dying on the cross for us. Love is sacrificing everything so that we can know Christ and learn about him and love him and have a relationship with him. And love doesn't come by just praying for it. Love doesn't come by hoping that it'll happen. Love comes from walking by the Spirit and keeping in step with him and learning about him and praying with him and spending time with him. How many times have you had opportunities, maybe this past week, maybe in weeks past, where there was someone new at your work or at your school or on your sports team or even a visitor here at church, and instead of going over and showing them love and introducing yourself to them and making them feel welcome and showing them that love of Christ, you said no, because you are more concerned with your own comfort and your own desire to stay within ourselves. Jesus demands us to go out and be fishers of men and to make disciples. And if we're denying those opportunities because we don't want to show the love of Christ and extend his kingdom, we're not following him the way we should. It's a struggle that each one of us has. Another one I want to talk about. Do you have true joy in your life? I know when I first hear joy, you know, I just think about the last time I was happy, and I was like, oh, sure, you know, I have joy in my life. But I don't mean like when your team, like your sports team wins a game, or, you know, like you win a game of, like, for example, like the truest, like the best joy I could imagine feeling that I know of is probably, like, if I could beat my dad at a game of chess, that would be, like, that would be sweet. Like, that would be, you know, that would be joy. But I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about when you get a raise at work or, you know, you score a goal in a soccer game or anything like that. What I mean is this true joy of Jesus Christ for what he did for you, for what he gave up for you, what he sacrificed for you. And the only way we can receive that true joy and have that true joy is if we trust him, we walk with him, and we live for him. And the reason that's so important is because with godly joy in your life, when these struggles come up and these sins come up and these temptations come up, your life and your relationship with Christ will not crumble. It won't crumble because you have the true joy of what Christ did. Things don't all fall apart when you come face to face with that because you know what Christ did and you take joy in that. So what I'm challenging you to do this week and moving forward is to have joy, have true joy each and every day because of what Christ did for you. Because that alone is so much more powerful than any problem we have, any conflict or any disagreement or struggle we have in our life. The joy that he gives us in his death and resurrection is so much more powerful, and it's so much more significant. And then third and finally, patience. And believe me, growing up with having seven siblings, I've needed it. Nights where kids won't go to bed, kids were, you know, won't stay in bed, you know, it's just a whole thing. But to walk by the Spirit, we just need patience. We need it so desperately, especially in the world we live in today, the culture we live in, where it's a, you know, gotta have it, I need it, must have it, right now, culture that we live in. And so often we find ourselves praying and asking God for things right now. You know, God, do this, please do this right now, or give me this right now, or heal this person right now. But how often do we ever just pray, God, let your will be done? Have these things happen in your timing and not mine, because your ways are perfect and mine are not. Romans 8:25 says, but if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. God has such a perfect plan, and he has such perfect timing with everything. And so if we're walking by the Spirit, we wait for his perfect timing, because he's given us that patience, and he's put it inside of us. To put this in perspective, let me just ask you a question. Has being impatient over being patient ever, like, made things go better or made them go worse? Because I know for me personally, it's never made things better. And it's never, and it doesn't please God. So I don't think there's a way you can say it makes it better. Because it doesn't please God. Being impatient does not please God. It's not one of his fruits. And I think both those answers are pretty simple. Verse 24 says, and those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. So if you belong to Jesus, if you're here this morning and you're saved and you're walking by the Spirit, let me encourage you that Christ took away those sins. He forgave you of those things. So keep walking with him. Live your life for him. Glorify him. Seek after him. Exhibit those fruits of the Spirit so that other people know and they see a difference in you than what they see in everyone else. The Bible also talks about knowing a tree by its fruit. This week and moving forward, I would encourage you, make sure people know what kind of tree you are and who you follow and who you strive after. Because it says they'll know what kind of tree you are by your fruits. So exhibit those fruits in your everyday life. I would challenge you to do so. And then finally, as I started to kind of close this morning, I want to read Galatians, finish up the passage in verses 25 and 26, where he says, if we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another or envying one another. As you leave here today, my hope is that you've been encouraged. My hope is that you've been challenged and that you've been emboldened to go out into the world and exhibit these fruits of the Spirit and walk with the Spirit and to walk with him forever, like verse 25 says, and to do so like Isaiah 40:31, where it says, but they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. So as we close here this morning, I would like to give you a challenge. Every person in this room falls into one of three categories. There's three different categories. Each one of us falls into one of those. The first category of people here today is those who have never taken that first step with Christ. They've never given their life to Christ. They've never confessed their sin before him, and they're not walking with him. They're not walking by the Spirit. Maybe you have some struggle in your life and you've never really seen the point of following Christ. And my prayer for you is that you'll see that and you'll recognize what he's done for you. And into that category of people, I would just say, start walking. Start walking with Christ. Give your life to him. Surrender your life to him. Confess your sin to him. Because he's so beautiful, and he changes your life, and he changes your perspective. And it's never too late to do that. It's never gotten too bad, or it's gotten to the point where Jesus has run out of love, or he's run out of forgiveness. That's never the case. And it's never too late to give your life to him and ultimately surrender your life to him. Second category of people in this room today are maybe those of you who you got saved, and right now you're going through a hard spot. Right now you've hit a point in your walk with Christ, your walk with the Spirit, where maybe you're struggling with something and you can't seem to get past it. I don't know, and again, like I talked earlier, I don't know what your struggle is, but maybe you just can't seem to beat that. And what I would say to you is also start walking, but start walking again. Get back on that path. So often in Christianity, in following Christ, we get to these struggles, and I think a lot of it's about just picking ourselves up with the help of God and getting back on that walk, seeking after him, running the race he set before us. And one thing also I would say to you is that don't forget that this walk with God, this walk with the Spirit, is a lone walk. You're not walking by yourself. If you're saved and you're walking with Christ, his Holy Spirit is inside of you, guiding you, directing you, and ultimately leading you down the path he wants you to go down. So don't forget, don't ever feel like you're alone, because you have Christ with you. And finally, the third category of those who are in this room today are those who are walking by the Spirit, and those who are walking with Christ and living their life for him. And to you, I would just say, keep walking. Keep marching on. Keep going forward into this world, shining a light for Christ. I know in the world that we live in today, it's not popular to do it. It's not held in the highest of regards. It's not always viewed as the right decision. But believe me, it is. If you step back and you think about everything that Christ has done for you, it's so worth it. He's so worth it. And living your life for him is so worth it. So I would challenge you to do that today. So I would just challenge you as you go today and you go throughout the rest of your week and the rest of your days. I just, my prayer for you and my prayer for myself is that we'll walk faithfully as people of God, boldly and faithfully, to proclaim his name to the world and to those who need him, and exhibit these fruits of the Spirit so they can see that from us. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father God, I just thank you so much for this church. I thank you so much for the people here. I thank you so much for your word. And ultimately, I thank you for what Christ did for each and every one of us. We're so undeserving of that. And we thank you so much for your grace and your mercy and your love. God, we thank you for what your word says. I pray that as we go forward, you'll help us to crucify our sinful desires. Help us to leave those at the cross, leave those behind, and help us to seek after you. Help us to exhibit those fruits of the Spirit. Help us to exhibit love and joy and peace and patience. Help us to help other people to see those within us. And help us to take joy in what you've done for us and proclaim that to others. God, I just ask that as we go from church today and as we go forward, you'll be with us. But Lord, I also want to pray for those who might be here today who maybe they've never given their life to you. Maybe there's some of you here who have never given your life to Christ or surrendered your life to Christ. And Jesus Christ is just so beautiful, and he's so amazing, and he's so forgiving. So I would encourage you to do that. I would encourage you to give your life to Christ today if you haven't already done that. Lord, we just ask that as we go forth from today that you'll be with us. Help us to seek after you, glorifying you, pleasing you in all of our words, our thoughts, and our actions, and our interactions with your creation, God. Help us just to seek after you and please you. In your name we pray. Amen.